Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. I'm an employment law and business law attorney, and I host this weekly live talk radio show and video broadcast every Tuesday evening, live from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., where I have guests on my show and we discuss the various employment and business-related topics that small to medium-sized business owners and entrepreneurs are facing during these challenging times. And so this evening, in line with that purpose, I am very happy to have on my show a recurring guest, Stephen Petro. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Nice to be back.
Yes, good to have you back. Absolutely. Stephen, you were on our show, if you recall, we were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
Back in February of 2021.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just how much changes, how much some things change, some things stay the same, I suppose. Here we are on Zoom having this discussion, but
yeah,
great to, you know, talk about what's new in the workplace and the workforce, and which might be a good segue. I think I'll share with our audience tonight our topic, then I'll give a nice proper introduction for you.
Awesome.
And great, we'll take it from there.
Awesome. All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome, Stephen. Great to have you on. So as I mentioned, folks, my guest tonight here before you is Stephen Petro. Stephen is the founder and the principal of S. Petro Lifestyle Solutions. He basically provides consulting services related to nutrition and maintenance of physical health, including healthy weight and sleep hygiene. Big one. Stephen's true passion since he was a teenager has been health and wellness, particularly in the areas of integrative health, diet, and nutrition. When Stephen was a teenager, his experience and frustration with an acne issue empowered him to search for alternative solutions. When he finally found nutritional solutions for his acne, he became passionate about researching this field and, many years later, turned this passion into a thriving business in which he has helped countless people achieve their wellness and fitness goals through a high-tech and high-touch approach. Now, Stephen utilizes a digital platform and a host of digital tools to provide clients with customized wellness solutions, but also works with a team of individuals with specialties in exercise, in integrative medicine, nutritional coaching, and modalities to provide a unique consultative experience. Stephen has worked at St. Luke's Hospital Obesity and Nutrition Research Center. He is a published academic author, an internationally published author in Value Theory and Ethics, our topic for tonight, in part, and he's the former co-owner of Bowen Education, a standardized TEP prep center in Flushing, New York. Stephen lives in Queens, New York. And with all that said, like, Stephen, once again, it's really good to have you on the show this evening.
Yes, that's quite a lot, right? Quite an introduction. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Excited to tonight to discuss, take a little bit of a pivot and discuss a little bit more of the business aspect of how value theory plays out, right? Haven't really talked to somebody, had the opportunity to talk to somebody about that part of my specialty in a while. So I'm excited.
That sounds great, Stephen. And actually, I think that's a perfect segue into the brief summary for audience tonight, what the topic is, what they can expect when they tune in tonight and they're listening to our show. So, and our topic, as Stephen was just alluding to, it's, we're calling it Value Theory 101 for Employers, Making the Best Decisions for Your Workforce. And for you employers out there listening tonight, business owners, in the social sciences, value theory examines the methods of how, why, and to what degree people value things or persons or ideas or objects. Within philosophy, it is also known as ethics or axiology. So the question becomes, right, as Stephen mentioned, taking into the practical real-world experience we're all living in, how can you, as an employer, apply value theory in making optimal decisions around hiring, firing, and creating employee policies? So join me this evening with my guests, as I mentioned, Stephen Petro, e-retail entrepreneur, an educational disruptor, an internationally published author. Stephen wrote the book, literally, on value theory and ethics. So he'll be sharing his knowledge with us tonight on this important topic. So yes, Stephen, again, really glad you're here tonight. You know, it could bring an energy to the show that we, I think is really appreciated.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You said it pretty well yourself about what value theory is. And I think what I'll try to do tonight is a little bit more of exploration of a little bit of the theory and understanding, you know, how people value, how that affects things in the workplace, how it affects people's behavior. But also I'll be a little theoretical, but then I'm going to go dive right into some practical ways that can actually help business owners right away.
So. Sure, makes sense. You know, I tend to enjoy the combination of theoretical, esoteric, and practical as well, whether it's in employment law for my clients or in music. You know, there's always fun playing the chords and notes in the songs, but understanding the music theory makes it kind of interesting too. So, but before we get into the value theory topic, I thought it'd be nice for our audience tonight to know a little bit more about you. So I'm curious if you can tell us, Stephen, more about yourself in terms of, like, how did you begin your career? And then maybe tell us a little bit more about, you know, your business, S Petro Lifestyle Solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a funny story. I actually never thought of myself as an entrepreneur or never considered that. As you kind of laid out for the audience, I always had this kind of academic nerd, proud, you know, academic nerd here background. And here's the thing about it. I always wanted to live that kind of lifestyle of being a full-time academic nerd. So, as I went through school, I realized that, kind of long story short, business, which is something that I had never considered before, or entrepreneurship as a path, was a really great vehicle to be able to bring me, wanting that kind of lifestyle, but also being able to fully appreciate, fully realize that kind of lifestyle. So that's kind of why I went into entrepreneurship, to be more of an academic nerd in the first place, have the freedom to do that. I was in grad school at the time, and it really just was from some, you know, everybody has student loan stuff going on. So at that time, I had a lot of student loan stuff going on. I was at Columbia, and I realized, okay, I gotta shake things up a little bit. I gotta do things a little different, and that's where I got the idea to do something with specifically health and nutrition. It wasn't the full-fledged concept that it is today, or how I have it structured today. At that time, took me, you know, quite a while to kind of get my footing in it. But as you said in the intro, I had some really bad acne situation when I was much younger, and was able to resolve that quite well using, I wouldn't say alternative. I don't like to kind of say that, use that word. No. I mean, integrative medicine, because I think there's no real alternative medicine. It's either, for me, it's either science-based or it's not. So, right. So, it's either science-based or it's not. And so, yeah, I looked into some of the research on this, on different nutrients and dietary approaches. At that time, I actually had lost 30 pounds, started running. So I got really focused on my health, and it transformed a lot for me. And because of that, it really got me passionate. So it was kind of an old passion that I revisited. And I said, you know what, I have some scientific knowledge in this as well. How about I start doing something with it today? So if you want to really distill my business down, I work with a variety of brands in mostly in the health and wellness space, but some other industries as well. And then broker them online through various different platforms. But also I have a smaller VIP set of VIP clientele that I work with to just help them enhance their lifestyle. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, somebody who is curing or preventing or treating disease. I'm really helping people enhance their lifestyle. So, yeah.
Interesting. A few things you said there. From the top, going back to, like, you know, how you said you didn't really plan on becoming an entrepreneur. I feel like there's a movie out a long time ago called The Accidental Tourist. And I feel like that phrase, the accidental business owner, the accidental entrepreneur, right, might be a good verbal TM on this show. We heard it here first, or maybe that's actually not the first time it's been said, but just that, you know, that like idea of how we have some knowledge, right? Some topic of interest, some passion,
and
it could be like, you know, driven by a negative experience we had that we then worked on and found a solution to. Like I hear you mention that, not a coincidence perhaps that the name in your business is as Perpetual Lifestyle Solutions. But so good to hear that like component of what you shared tonight. And you mentioned
it's funny. I think that happens to, I think it happens fairly often to people. People realize, hey, you know what? I can go in this direction. Maybe try it out, see how things work and, roll with it. So necessity is the mother of invention, right? Mm. So, hey, it's a good thing. Good thing sometimes.
Very true. Very true. Also, like you appreciate you mentioned about like having some VIP clients. Are those B2C? Are those consumers or are those other businesses as well?
Those are B2C. They're actually, you know, mostly consumers, I will say. There are some B2B, but B2C personally is what I work with the most. But we do work with a few, clinicians and physicians as well, clinically as well. Yeah.
Right. Interesting. Well, that's all really good background. And now, in an interesting employment law today context, we're going to pivot to a whole different topic, which is, of course, the value theory part of the show. And, you know, before we do, I want to note that Stephen wrote a book on value theory and ethics. And, there it is.
I have it right here.
Virtue and what was the last part? The finger, liberation. Right, there you go. A post-dialectical theory of value.
Yes, yes.
So, by the way, when was that book? When did you write that book, Stephen?
2013. Can you believe it? So wow. I was 23. You can do the math. So.
I thought you were about early 30, 30, 31. Okay, so
yeah.
Pretty impressive. And, you know, it's funny. Time flies by when you're having fun. We've got about a minute or so to the commercial break. I think I would much rather take it now, right, have a word from our sponsors, and then come back and hear like a fresh, clean start to our topic. You talked about value theory. And I'll tell our listeners, you're listening to Employment Law Today, or you're watching Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law, business law attorney. My guest tonight, Stephen Petro, founder and CEO of S. Petro Lifestyle Solutions. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, here tonight with my guest, Stephen Petro, founder of S. Petro Lifestyle Solutions. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Good to have you with us tonight. We're talking about our topic, which is we're calling it Value Theory 101 for Employers, Making the Best Decisions for Your Workforce, talking about the application of this philosophical system belief, or rather theory, to the everyday life. So, Stephen, you wrote the book, or a book, on value theory and ethics. What is the premise of your book and your title again?
So the title is Rationality, Virtue, and Liberation, a Post-Dialectical Theory of Value. So It is a very, it's a text, it's an academic text. Mm-hmm. It's originally meant for an academic audience, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you sitting out there can't get it and tackle it. But I think that with respect to the premise, the premise itself is actually about the definition of goodness and the definition of value, which previous to this had been a very long-standing discussion and debate. And I just took a different approach to solving that question than many others before me had taken. And so I won't discuss so much of that approach because it's just, you know, it's quite theoretical. But one thing I will discuss that I thought is that I think is very, very relevant is the two theories that primarily I analyzed in the book in order to make my point and make my argument, which is one, that of Alan Gilworth, and that of Jürgen Habermas. So if these names are unfamiliar, it's okay. I'm going to talk about it. So Alan Gilworth heavily talks about rights and proving human rights, right? Proving the logically, right? He has a really exhaustive logical argument about that's actually formalistic, like the tightest, craziest, you know, almost mathematical logic that you can make, that you can use. And it's a really, really compelling argument. Habermas takes a different approach. He's in a sphere called discourse ethics or communicative ethics. And I think that's where we get really, really relevant when we talk about the workplace and we talk about business ethics. Mm-hmm. So practically speaking, where I've seen, you know, the question for Gilworth is, what do you do if you're talking about rights and human rights? What do you do when these rights conflict? He never really addressed that. And in a practical setting, what do you do when they conflict? You know, I actually carried out several specific scenarios or classic dilemmas and specific scenarios to kind of look at that and look at his theory with regards to that. With regards to the communicative ethics end, I think it's highly relevant to business because the more I've been in business, I mean, I wrote this in 2013, right? It's now, right? The more I've learned about business as I've done business and interacted with business owners is the number one most relevant concept to communicative ethics or discourse ethics is leadership with respect to business leadership. And it's a very loaded term, but it solves working on leadership in our own businesses, whatever that is, solves a lot of issues. So that's a little bit of the premise. You might have some more questions to dig into, but I'll leave it there for now.
I think it's an excellent sort of, you know, recap, summary, start of these like two basic different theories. In that, I like how you kept it. You know, I mean, you're welcome to get more theoretical, but I know you want to also keep it practical. You know, you shared that with me as well.
Sure.
What's interesting is that you talked about that you know, right, the first theory, the humans or the rights theory, about improving human rights or what to do when rights conflict. And, you know, what's fascinating is like, I think we're kind of seeing that playing out before our eyes all the time, especially nowadays in the last, like, say, you know, like year and a half or so with COVID-19, the pandemic, with, you know, employee rights, like, say, to safety, you know, and to our employers' desires, rights to have order and safety, you know, in their workplace. The government's compelling interest in protecting, you know, people's rights to certain health and well-being, and then of course the individual employees might argue, some might argue, it's their right, you know, for more freedom and autonomy over their choices in regard to health and the vaccine, which could be a whole other show or a series of shows. But I think it just, it's, what's interesting is like the theory about the rights conflicting is the underlying question, what, whose rights are valued higher, and how do you value those rights? Or like,
so it's an interesting question. So, so according to Gorath's theory, so he lays it out, and again, in painstaking detail, that and concludes that, you know, we all have rights to freedom and well-being in terms of, there are positive rights and there are negative rights. So negative rights, meaning freedom from, you have freedom from, let's say if it's an employment situation, freedom from harassment or freedom from, you know, being forced to do something that might be injurious to yourself or what have you, that you don't want to, or otherwise don't want to do for some reason. And rights to, meaning, positive rights, meaning, if you, let's say if you're hungry, right, you're starving, society or somebody in the society has a duty to, you have a right to food, right? Something like that. So it's quite interesting. Now, he doesn't completely answer, because his is a meta-ethical theory, meaning it's the starting point. We don't apply it to dilemmas yet. But with regards to dilemmas, so typically a utilitarian approach would be, well, what makes people the most happy on the whole, right? For him, it's what satisfies everybody's rights. What is the approach that we can get the closest to satisfying everybody's rights completely at once? There is no weighting of rights. In this case, Habermas, I think, has a very good way of accounting for that. So we can't, kind of underlying his idea is this implication that we, as humans, we really can't figure it out without engaging in a discourse, without engaging, getting everybody, all the stakeholders together, essentially. But he makes a point of people having equal power in the situation. So everybody involved in the situation or who is affected by the any decision, they should be able to agree to it. And it's actually in unanimity. So as you can imagine, it would take a process of deliberation for everybody to agree in unanimity. Okay, now let's get a little practical.
I think it's great, you know, great background, great context and theory. And, you know, for sure, I think. And I see companies today engaging that discourse, trying to satisfy all the rights as much as possible with their shareholders, employers, employees. I'm sorry, you're about to take it into a, like into the business practical context. And I'm all yours.
So we get into a practical context, and let's be real. We can't satisfy all of everybody's rights at the same time. Constantly. I mean, I don't think you can think of a situation that's perfect where you can satisfy everybody at the same time. So here's where we get into, and I don't think, I haven't seen literature on it. Maybe it's a different book that I write on leadership, and I haven't seen this in a philosophical sense. I think, no offense to the philosophers, because not enough of them do business, but I'm sure more of them should do business.
Right. So,
But leadership is so let's talk about leadership. Leadership being influence, according to John C. Maxwell, right? We should be... as a leader, you know, you can't appeal to everybody. Right, but we can still use that approach that I think Habermas has emphasized. Use that approach of really making sure we are bringing everybody to the table who is involved in the decision or affected by the decision, and at least have people be heard. And I'm going to go from you know, where philosophy or ethics is very, and legal theory, as you know, too, yeah. is very logical. But the thing is that people, it's not meant as an offense, but people in general, we don't think logically.
Sure.
Let's say somebody in our team expresses a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Many times the concern is from an emotional place of not feeling heard or feeling like they're being forced to something like this, or it comes many times from a feeling, but just many times bringing somebody to the table and discussing the concern and really listening can solve it. Of course, it's not that easy. It's not that simple, because that's also a process. But I think that's something that if we take that approach as a leader, you can actually influence more people in your team and have a better, solid team ethic. Influence meant in a very positive way here, not in, negative way.
Yeah, if I could jump in, Stephen, because I think I want something to emphasize, like for audience tonight, emphasize in terms of something you said. What's interesting is that it's really great what you're describing in terms of both theories, but the discourse theory, the communicative theory of ethics and value, where people will come to the table and have more discussions and keeping people involved to be heard. Those philosophical underpinnings, like that theory, I've seen it being applied more and more by diversity and inclusion experts we've had on the show tonight, on employment law today, folks like Simone Sloan, or attorneys like Nance Chick. We've heard it through, HR companies and HR consultants like Mark Roberts. But we hear a lot about companies, trying to bring more people to the conversation, and they feel heard. And in doing so, right, when people are heard, it's like they actually, that might be one of their needs, is to be heard. And
maybe
arguably the right to be heard might be more valuable to them than getting everything they want or all their rights met, and whether that's the employer or the employee. So I think it's an interesting point about leadership and, making decisions, like not from just one's own mind, but what does my team have to say about this?
Yeah, exactly. And many times, as a leader, if you're the business owner, many times it's like, well, it's my business. They can take it or leave it, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to follow up on this on the commercial, after the commercial break. I think it has a very practical side. It's not only ethical and the right thing to do to utilize this approach, but actually it's a cost savings and a very practical thing to do as well from a personal preservation side. So
right. So what I think we're saying is that the the theoretical and the practical kind of can sort of meet there, in that what's actually perhaps in the best interest from an ethics point of view can actually be in the best interest from a bottom line dollar point of view.
Absolutely. Unquestionably.
Yeah. Not diametrically opposed or anything like that.
No.
We have a commercial break coming up now. So why don't we perhaps we'll revisit that topic, Stephen, when we get back from our break. And for those listening tonight, tuned in to Employment Law Today, you're listening to our show on Value Theory 101 for Employers, the practical guide to making the best decisions for your workforce. So stick around to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. My guest tonight, Value Theory author and entrepreneur Stephen Petro. We're here live on Talk Radio NYC. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Howdy. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. Here tonight with my guest, Stephen Petro of S. Petro Lifestyle Solutions. And we're talking about value theory and ethics and basically how to apply some of these philosophical theories in practicality and right pragmatic concrete terms to the workforce, to employers who are making and setting policies around like hiring, firing, and around their employees and such. And so, Stephen, again, great to have you on the show this evening. Glad you're able to make it.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed this discussion. I mean, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the bottom line, right? How this affects the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I think, there are two aspects to it. There, on the one side, in terms of leadership, let's just make this a little bit more concrete. Mm-hmm. On one side, we want to bring everybody together to the table, right? But at the same time, we can't also afford to take every grievance into account, to take everything into account. There is a certain efficiency by which a business needs to run, but also we just can't oblige every single opinion or disagreement. So how do we navigate this? So a lot of it comes from, again, this word is thrown a lot, around a lot, but culture, right? What culture you're creating in the workplace, how you're even selecting the team in the first place and how you're interviewing, right, is a huge deal. But I remember when I was running the test prep agency, one of the things, so of course we all make mistakes when we run a business too. I recalled we would never want to lose a good teacher, right? Number one is you never want to lose a good teacher. So yes, you want to try to work with them as much as possible. And you never want to lose good people. One of the things that in terms of like employee retention.
Good one. Yes.
Right. We pay so much. We invest so much in training. Right. As a business owner, you invest a lot in training. It's both time and it's finances. And so to rehire somebody because you lost them because the culture is not there. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this spooky thing. But again, it comes back to the way people communicate with each other. There are so many good books on this to read. I would really highly encourage, because when you get into communicative ethics and, okay, bringing people to the table, right, you have to ask, well, then what are you communicating about? How are you communicating, right? Mm-hmm. What is the tone that we're setting? Those are important questions. Mm-hmm. that ultimately affect retention. They affect whether, the person you hired is just coming to work because it's a paycheck, or whether they're coming because they're aligned with some vision, they're passionate about what they do, they love working with you, they love working with the team, mm-hmm. They feel a sense of purpose in what they're doing, and also they feel heard and listened to. That's a hard thing. And I think many business owners, I think there's a growing conscious of it, but many business owners kind of like Well, I own a business. What? I own a shop. Like, I own whatever it is. And why do I care about leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Well, because it sounds abstract, but when you come down to all these things that are so important, you see how relevant it is, right?
Yeah. And
so I think it's so important. Go back to personal development and professional mm-hmm. development, skills, but also internal personal development, working on ourselves. How am I showing up? How am I communicating? What do I lack? What do I need to work on personally? That will create the culture and the business ultimately. So anyway, that's a little bit of application.
Absolutely. I think it's a very good application of like this theory. You know, I think you start out with an interesting point you made after the commercial break, Stephen, which is that you're right. While it's like in theory, like the first theory about the rights-based, you know, ethics, it'd be great if like we can, you know, have everyone's rights all satisfied at once at the most possible, not always a real reality, because rights, people's desires, needs tend to conflict at times. And B,
right.
Your other point, which is like, you know, like on one hand, you're right that communicative ethics, right, good leadership is bringing people to the table. But you also made a good point in that for those listening tonight, like you want to bring people to the table on big decisions, but clearly a business won't be able to run smoothly or efficiently
exactly.
if, you know, say every decision has to be run by, all right, you know, get all the employees together here, you know, call right. them back, whoever's off today, they could bring them in, you know, should we have, you know, right. peanut butter today or gel, you know, sandwiches or pizza for the holiday, you know, party. So
yeah.
You can't, you know, or should we change a stationery, you know, to this color? Like you can't, and of course that's a hyperbole example.
And people can also take advantage of you that way.
Right.
It's possible right. for people to take advantage of that. So it is a balance. It's almost like there's no logic about it. It's an art that must be learned with practice as well.
But that's, I think, part of your next point, which is like, you know, yeah. like what I hear, it's like what I hear you saying, and if I'm hearing correctly, like, yeah, there's no exact science. It's an art in terms of like how you decide and say what decision that people are involved with. But if you're in tune with yourself, right, how can I be a better leader? How can I communicate? How can I lead my team?
Yes.
I imagine that the sort of the answers to the question, which topic should my employees be a part of, will kind of come to you as a leader.
Yep.
Right? Like you'll know,
exactly.
Okay, compensation, you know, benefits, like important, let's get them to the table. You know, changing in structure, you know, reorganizing the workforce, like people being remote, you know, a hybrid or in person. Let's hear what they have to say about this. And I think you raised some good points there. I think, you know, it's great to hear like this value theory, which people talk about in the context of, you mentioned it, where employee culture, internal
yeah.
branding, it has lots of names. And here it can be traced back to these very esoteric, philosophical underpinnings and writings from, you know, great philosophers who probably didn't know what the term diversity and inclusion in the workplace or, you know, work culture was going to develop, you know, probably, I don't know
right.
what year those two philosophers you quoted, were that 20th century, 19th century? Or?
They're 20th century. And actually, interestingly enough, a lot of this workplace inclusion, mm-hmm. These ideas
yeah.
Can be traced back to people like Habermas because he's very influential and there are many programs and things mm-hmm. like that were centered around, you know, these ideas. So,
right.
yeah.
So let's say, like, you know, keeping it on the practical here, like you
just yes.
mentioned, right? You know, it's like, say, I'm a, you know, person listening tonight, watching the show and on Talk Radio NYC or on Facebook and watching the video version. And, like, I want to know, okay, so, you know, I'm going to be setting some policies, like, for my employees around, like, hiring, firing, or who's going to become remote, who's going to be, like, in the office. So I'm wondering, what kind of questions should I, as an employer, be asking myself before I sit down to write out these policies? Or
yeah. So good question. So I think,
Yeah.
Well, with regards to the interview process, that's a really interesting one because I've had a good amount of experience with interview process and things like that. And with regards to that, I think before you even start interviewing, you have to have an understanding, well, one, of your values, and then also, Who are you bringing on that, like, what is the exact profile of this person that you're looking for? I'm not necessarily talking about demographics because that's not even legal, right? Mm-hmm. But we're talking about you know, values. Mm-hmm. You're talking about what they, you know, how can you, it's beyond skill sets. There's actually a study, interestingly enough.
Right.
I love research, right? Yeah. Because you can always verify and falsify anything, right? But with regards to the startup culture in the it was in the 90s when there was a tech bubble. There's a series of studies, and people can feel free to reach out to me if you want the citations for this, because it's really interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of models that were studied. They looked at people who hired based on skill sets alone, people who hired based on where the person went to school and these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one looking at how what's called the commitment model. So how the people's values aligned, that those companies actually tended to do better than the ones that selected people just based on skill sets or just based on where they went to school and these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Why? It sounds very airy fairy and up in the air and clouds, but the truth is that people emotionally connect. The more people emotionally connect and trust each other, it's very true. A lot of the skill sets that you need for your business can be learned and trained, even if somebody's a little deficient in one of them. Mm-hmm. And I think building a recruiting mindset around this and some form of that and making it unique to what yourself and your company vision is very important. Number two, I think with respect to creating these policies, work from home and these kinds of things. Here's the dilemma. Here's one of the big dilemmas.
Yeah.
Team culture and team environment is built in proximity much of the time. Yeah. Pixar, for instance, uses a physical closeness, actually builds the offices based on proximity. And so it's very important. Making sure people are physically close. So it helps collaboration. Anyway, that I think we don't have time to discuss.
No, we do actually. We can giggle over.
Okay. There. Yeah. So
I want to hear your thoughts on this. Uh-huh.
So yeah, in terms of working remote, I do think it's the future. That's one thing that we have to accept. Number one, hands down, we still have to have. I think yes, you want to bring people to the table. What do you prefer? But also keeping some accountability. It's not just what you prefer. What makes you more productive, right? Do we see that you're more productive when you're remote or versus in person? That's something you can actually communicate on. Hey, we noticed that you're actually more productive. Hey, more power to you. Do it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Be a little flexible. There are other things to consider with that, but that is what something that is immediately something that would be discussed, that could be discussed.
I've seen this with clients of mine as well, Stephen, with employers and business owners out there, like, who are trying to decide these like very policies in their workplace. I think it's like you mentioned, there's different models, and it doesn't surprise me to learn and to see over and over again. I'm not surprised that the employers and the business owners who apply a more well-rounded approach, like, hiring based on values and commitment and loyalty and emotional, connection, often do better. And I think if you look at it from a philosophical value theory, it's like if you value the bottom line or the product or the performance, you can tap into that and maximize productivity and morale by choosing people with like-minded values and like-minded purposes purpose. So I think it's an interesting point. Taking the theory we discussed earlier in the show and putting it into practical terms, I think also your point about the work from home, the culture, it's like, the employer needs to, they'd be best as a leader to ask, what helps the end product come together nicely, and to put that ahead of, let's say, one's ego that might say, I want to be able to be the boss, it's my rules, it's my right. shop, right, my firm, my name on the door,
But ultimately, at the end of the day, that attitude ends up leading to a crash and burn scenario. If not now, in the long term, because of this mindset, you might end up not seeing things, trends changing, that could be helpful information for your business. just because I'm the boss and I want to do things my way is really dangerous.
Absolutely, Steve. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, great. All great points here. And we actually now will take our third commercial break. For those listening tonight, you're watching or listening to Employment Law Today on Talk Radio NYC. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law, business law attorney. And my guest tonight, Stephen Petro of S. Petro Lifestyle Solutions. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership, here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. My guest tonight, again, Stephen Petro. Stephen is not only the founder of S. Petro Lifestyle Solutions, he also is an author who wrote a book on value theory and ethics, which he shared with us earlier this evening. And so we're talking about this, you know, value theory, right? What is it? How does it apply in everyday life when it comes to being a leader and making employer policies and decisions around hiring, firing, promoting? So, Stephen, really good, you know, stuff so far. And I'm wondering if you can, like, you know, shed a little more light for us on how you do you see value theory being used by employers in the context of, like, the newly changing post-COVID-19 workforce.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so there are two dimensions to this, quite honestly. There's the dimension that you work with directly, which is the legal side of it, which, you know, there's the law is the law, right? Period. Right. So you have to follow the law as a business owner. And so obviously there are legal questions there. I will leave that to your domain because you are the expert, right? So, but let's imagine that you are a business owner and you're dealing with a mask policy or no mask policy or a vaccine or no vaccine or what have you. There are a lot. This is the most controversial topics right now.
Yeah,
with people. So here's the thing. Again, leadership comes into play. And a part of leadership is being decisive, right? So decisiveness. Again, it's that balance between, you know, being authoritative and forcing people to do things. And, you know, I think, let's say you're talking about a mask policy and that's, let's say, what's going to make people safe in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Or even if you wanted to, for the sake of argument, people, because I don't know, people might disagree or what have you. But even for the sake of argument, having people feel safe, right? That's also another consideration, right? And if you have come to an understanding, I think a big part of communication and coming to the table is really having at least enough relationship with your team such that you kind of know what their discomforts are and their what will make them show up better and what will make them angry or not, right? This is an ongoing communication. And so as a leader, I think one of the things you have to say is, hey, this is, at the end of the day, like, this is the policy, mm-hmm. but the reason I'm doing this is that we care about the team. We want to keep everybody safe. Mm-hmm. If you have issues about it, you want to discuss it, you have concerns, the door is open. I think one of those things, again, is about keeping the door open if there's a policy concern. The worst thing to do is to, like, shut the door, but at least to have people know the door is open. We can discuss it. It doesn't mean I'm going to say yes, but I want to hear what you have to say. That at least is important. Right. Yeah. You talk about rights conflicting. Yes, rights will always conflict, but there's a way to if not resolve the issue, mm-hmm. to collaboratively figure out how to straddle those values and rights.
And, you know, so Stephen, I think all a good point. I think you're right that, like, first, right, you know, the floor, sort of the minimum, perhaps it's like what the law says you want an employer, you know, has to do. Right. Whether it's like vaccine mandates, which are still being, you know, hotly debated, as you pointed out, hotly debated in the courts and still ruled on today. And there are all kinds of injunctions and crazy stuff that I won't get into in the last 10 right. minutes. But to your point, like, you know, I think it's like you're right that the decision maker, and by bringing a team together, bringing people to talk about policies, to, you know, voice their concerns, like voice their, you know, their pleasure with the policy, their disappointment with it. It's, you know, what I think of, I think, you can't, you know, as you mentioned, you can't sort of please everyone and all of everyone's rights being satisfied.
That's right.
But you know what, though? I think it's like if someone's rights are not being, let's say two rights are conflicting, and let's say the right of those who want masks, the right to feel safe, is superseding the right of those who, like, want, like, the right to have a free face without their glasses getting fogged up, you know?
Yes.
If you have people communicate, but if they have them here, why one party's rights, say, quote unquote, won out, it actually might soften the blow, make them less upset, less angry. So, like,
right? Well, even in Gore's theory, okay. So we'll take an example. Even in Gore's theory, he says, you know, of course you should save somebody. Let's say if somebody's drowning, you should save somebody. Right. But if it's going to be of equal or greater harm to you, potentially, to save that person, you're not obliged, mm-hmm. right? Let's say you're gonna drown. You don't know how to swim, or you're gonna you might be you know, get a spinal cord injury or something like that for the rest of your life. You know, those would be grounds not to save the person or attempt to save the person permissibly. So, for instance, in this case, yeah, I mean, you can make that case ethically, right? Mm-hmm. Ethically, but again, here's the thing that I like to connect from the theoretical to the practical.
Right.
Practically speaking, it almost, now don't listen to me the wrong way.
No, I hear
it. It almost doesn't matter what is logically deduced to be ethical. Does it make sense?
Yes.
It matters how people feel about that, because mm-hmm. again, at the end of the day, what's going to drive the behavior is not that, you know, they deduced some syllogism.
Right.
They have A, then therefore B, and then C. Okay.
Right.
I get it. Don't worry. Now I agree. No.
But
yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So you know, those things, those soft parts, really, really matter when it comes to understanding, you know, how to translate from theory to practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Stephen, that was, I think, really just excellent point there. You know, it's a great point to segue to the next part, which is the wrap up. My least favorite part, because it means the show is ending. But we've got about 3 minutes left. I want to turn the floor over to you for about 2 minutes to share with us how can we reach you, any promotions you might have, you know, your website, and the floor is yours for 2 minutes.
Yes. So, guys, feel free to Well, this is my book. So if you want to check out my book and you're academically inclined and you're really analytical, go ahead, go for it. It's a great read. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in touch with me directly, either book an appointment for a lifestyle consultation or, anything else, just to watch some of my content. I have a lot of great content that I put out myself as well in terms of educational videos. Feel free to connect with me at Stephen Petro 411. That's at StephenPetro 411. That's my handle on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. So feel free to reach out to me directly.
Excellent. Stephen, thank you so much. Really, like a pleasure having you here tonight with us to talk about value theory and how it applies to employers. So again, I want to thank you for being on the show. I also want to let our listeners know that every week I have engaging, interesting guests. Exhibit A, Stephen Petro, as you can hear and see, like talking about the issues that you're welcome, that business owners face in their life, in their professional lives, as they plan things for their company, for their employees. So tune in Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. Here on Eastern Standard Time, that is, here on Talk Radio NYC. We've got some great shows coming up on the station. We've got Gateway to the Smokies with Joseph McElroy coming up next after this. So I'll just let everyone know, once again, it's Employment Law Today on Talk Radio NYC. And Stephen Petro, his info, which he gave, you can reach out to him for your e-retail health and wellness needs. So Stephen, again, a pleasure to have you on the show. Best of luck to you in the holidays, and I wish you a good evening.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Thank you.
Older, and so I
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.